Fuck this parade. I'm going to Greenwich.
We're going.
You ready for the squirt? It's gonna get ugly.
I'm ready.
Great. How do we get there?
Would you like to come visit me this Sunday?
Yes.
What a strange girl you are.
Why?
Flung out of space.
You're gonna get killed. And I came here to stand next to you while that happens, because that's what friends do. That's what men do. I don't need your pass.
I mean, seriously, I feel like I'm financially inside of you or something.
Okay.
I'm jacked.
I'm jacked to the tits!
Good.
You feel it?
No.
So you and Greg are co-workers?
Nah, we friends. He just hate calling people his friend. Dude's got issues.
Yeah, he does.
Everything I got is moved on, and I'm here. But you know what? It's okay. Because I said to myself, if I break, I'm hurt, whatever. I ain't gonna fix it. Why bother?
Chester's fucking cheating on me with real fish.
Yeah, bitch, like a real fish, girl, like vagina and everything.
I've been gone for 28 fucking days. Are you mean to tell me that he's been out here cheating on me with fish? Yeah.
We need the full scope. That's the only thing that will put an end to this.
So let's take it up to Ben, let him decide.
We'll take it to Ben when I say it's time.
It's time, Robbie! It's time!
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So it's our special episode. Special episode. It's our top 10 of 2015
episode. On this special episode of Growing Pains.
That's right. We're now in 2016, and we've seen all the films we need to see.
Except for one.
Except for one, yeah.
Spoiler alert, haven't seen Chirac yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Neither one of us has seen that.
Oops.
So I guess that's our disclaimer for this episode. We're here to talk about our top 10 films of 2015. We're going to talk about them. We'll count them down from 10 to 1. We'll also talk about our honorable mentions, basically the films that are ranked 11 through 20. And we'll briefly mention the shit films we've seen this year.
this is our third annual top 10.
That's right.
Congratulations on the third year coming up, dude.
Yeah, man. Congrats.
Yeah.
Like we always say, don't ever listen to that first episode. It's terrible.
No, don't listen to the first five episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our recommendation.
Sell them the product.
That's right. We really stand behind our product.
So I got a bit of a surprise for you, because I never do this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember? I did this last year. Can you remember your top five of last year, sir?
Top five of last year. Shit. As I was making my list, I was like, Bill's probably going to fucking ask me this again.
Oh, and he's going to.
Let's see. Before Midnight, I'm just kidding. That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
Top film from last year. See, this is 2014. Mommy was my top film.
Mommy was number one.
I'm totally blanking out.
Tell me to put you out of your misery.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so number one, Mommy.
Yeah.
Number two, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay, yeah.
Number three, Boyhood.
Yes.
Number four, Blue Ruin.
Yeah, that's right.
And number five, Inherent Vice.
Right on, right on.
My top five. Number one, Boyhood.
Nice.
Number two, The Tribe.
Yeah.
Number three, Inherent Vice. Number four, Mommy. And number five, Enemy.
Nice. That's a pretty good list.
Not a bad list.
Yeah.
Yours too. Shall we?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
The suspense is killing me, dude.
Oh, yeah. Totally, dude.
It's not. Just try to play it up.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure our lists are going to be pretty much identical, if not just a little bit different order.
I think probably different. My guess, we're going to probably have four films that are the same that show up on our lists.
Really?
I think four.
Okay. I know for a fact that because you haven't seen two of my top 10.
Okay.
So I know that.
Yeah. Right on.
And yeah, actually three.
Okay.
Because I'm blind, obviously, and didn't see that.
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, how do you want to do this, man?
Well, I guess we can start. What we'll do is same as last year. We'll start at number 10. You'll talk about yours. I'll talk about mine. We'll move to 9. And if we have any overlap, we'll just talk about it then.
Okay.
And then, like, say, for example, if Victor Frankenstein is my number 10 and it's your number 5, we'll talk about it at the number 10 spot.
It would be my number 1, of course.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll, and you'll just say it shows up later on my list.
Okay.
Then when it comes to number 5, you'll be like, yeah, Victor Frankenstein, number 5.
Okay.
Yes.
Not on my top 50.
Damn it.
No.
Yeah, definitely not even... I don't even know if it would make, like, top 100.
It'd make my top 5 worst.
Yeah, that too. That too. I totally forgot about it.
I've only got 3, but it's not on my bottom, but special mention to that film. Yeah. Holy crap.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
All right, so you want to start?
Yes, let's start out. What's your number 10 film of 2015?
We talked about this last show. My number 10 is The Big Short.
Nice.
Adam McKay's Holy Shit, Where Did This Come From? Movie about the decline of America, more or less.
Oh, totally.
And just how everybody is so greedy and will do anything for money, even if they know it's going to completely destroy the world.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Oh, big time.
It's the scariest movie of the year. It's like a horror film, man. You watch this film, it's just like, holy, how did this happen?
Yeah.
And how come these people who knew still didn't shut it down? Oh, wait. Because they all made billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
It's scary.
Probably one of the scariest sequences was when they interviewed those guys. And they're like, how come they're confessing everything? And he's like, they're not confessing. They're bragging.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name again? He's on New Girl. He has a bit in there.
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Max Greenfield.
Max Greenfield.
He plays Schmidt.
Yeah, he is such a douche in that movie.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lots of little supporting characters in the film who are just great. And, you know, obviously the main stars are good. But, yeah, it's a scary film. It's like Citizen Four, man. It's like the horror film of the year.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my number 10, The Big Short.
Right on, Big Short. My number 10 is Mistress America. I'm a huge, huge Noah Baumbach, Greta Gerwig fan. And here, they're just showing off. One of the most quotable movies of the year. Like, you've got this line. Here's one line from the movie. I'm going to take that, punch it up, and turn it into a tweet. So many quotable lines. It's so funny. It's so intimate. I adore these characters. And even, like, small characters, like the college kids, that whole group, they're hilarious and amazing.
I will jump in. It's higher on my list, but I will jump in.
Okay.
I love this movie too. I think it's his best film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know you really like Francis Ha.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like the spiritual successor to that film.
Oh, it totally is.
But I think this one works better. I think it's you know, along with maybe The Hateful Eight and The Big Short, best script of the year.
Yeah, it's right up there. Yeah. I would say that, too.
It aggravates people. I've talked to a few people who didn't like the script.
Really?
It's almost too perfect. Like, they think it's doesn't work properly because it's so catchy. And,
oh, man.
And it's like, no, that's genius.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Oh, totally.
And, Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach can just keep on making these films. One a year. Yeah. Just keep on punching them out.
Yeah.
I'll watch every one of them.
I'll sign up for each one.
Yeah, because this is a damn amazing film.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, and Sam Levy is their cinematographer. He's shot all their films. I don't think he gets enough credit from people who enjoy these films. I love the way he shoots these films, and there's a shot of Greta Gerwig and Lola Kirk entering a bar. It's one of my favorite shots of the year. If you've seen the trailer, you know the one. She's kind of like, they're kind of holding hands. And Greta Gerwig, her character is just larger than life. And it's perfectly captured in that sequence.
And man, can she dance.
She's got some moves in this movie.
Oh, my
movie.
God.
Yeah. She's well, awesome.
That's it. Higher on my list. I'll tell you what it is in a bit.
Wicked. Wicked. Yeah. So, yeah, my number 10, Mistress America.
All right. My number 9 is a film you haven't seen.
Nice.
45 Years.
Okay.
Directed by Andrew Haig, starring Charlotte Rampling and Tom Courtney, about you're married, I'm not.
Yeah.
You probably think you know Sarah pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
These guys have been married for 45 years, and something comes out and that they didn't know about that just completely makes me never want to get married.
Oh, no
just
way.
Just how one little thing could just completely screw everything up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
Wicked.
Of just being really restrained and beautiful, but with top-notch acting.
Like, sweet.
Charlotte Rampling, along with Rooney Mara, are the two female performances of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. And I really, really, really liked Rooney Mara and Carol.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew Haig, this is, I think, his third film.
Okay.
He made a film called Weekend a couple years ago.
Okay.
It's on Netflix, if you haven't seen it. It's rather good. Yeah, he's an up-and-coming guy, man. He's going to be huge in a couple years because this movie is great.
Sweet.
Another movie nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
It really hasn't opened yet, but it's done the festival circuit. It's won lots of awards.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. It's amazing.
Right on.
I think it's opening here pretty quick.
I think this month.
So
soon.
Definitely check it out.
Right on.
And along with, like, you know, we talked about a couple movies that had, like, amazing final shots. This is the one.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was the second film I saw at the Vancouver International Film Festival this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first film I saw was a comedy about National Lampoon.
Okay.
It was funny. And, yeah. You know, I'm going to see this other movie and sat down. And I didn't want to get up because I was so fucked up after.
Oh, like, no way.
The final shot just killed me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's highest praise for this film. It's a beauty.
Right on.
Would be higher on this than any other year.
Right on.
Yeah. Think about this year. A lot of really bad films, but those top 20 films, man.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was pretty hard to do this year.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I could almost draw, like, number 10 through 4 out of a hat.
Cool.
So
that's good, man.
That's, like, my divide between those.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, number 9, 45 years.
Right on, dude. My number 9, Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Wow.
Yeah, I love this film. I love just what it represents for me. I was very nervous going in because it's Star Wars. It's my entire childhood. And now I feel excited about Star Wars all over again. It's a film that's driven by really well-developed characters. I enjoy Rey the most. But I also love Finn and BB-8. Like, they're great additions to this universe. And Kylo Ren, probably the most complex villain in the Star Wars universe thus far.
What about Darth Maul?
Darth Maul.
I kid.
He twirls his lightsaber.
Ta-ha, I kid.
He is awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it walks down a familiar path, but it's a crowd pleaser. I love this film. It's great. It's one that I marveled in on the big screen. I can't wait to own it on Blu-ray. Blu-ray, get it?
Oh.
Yeah, so just a thoroughly enjoyable time of the movies. Definitely one that delivered on the entertainment and the big screen. Just a beautiful, beautiful film. So, yeah, that's my number 9.
If you complain about this film being like A New Hope, you weren't a fan to begin with.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film.
It is.
Notice how I'm not saying I'll talk about it later.
I noticed that.
Okay. Yeah,
that's fine.
Number 8, Spotlight.
Hey.
Which I'm pretty sure is on your list too.
That's my number 8.
Is it? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I like when that happens.
That's synergy. Awesome. Yeah.
It's a really tough film. You feel so great at the end.
Oh, totally.
You know, and I feel really weird saying that. It's a film about kids being raped by priests.
Oh, yeah.
And a paper that exposes it.
Yeah.
And boy, do they expose it. It's so beautifully great at the end. And mm-hmm. you love life after this film. You're thinking, why isn't this going on?
Yeah.
This should be 2 more hours.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's a sign right there that this film is great.
Oh, totally.
Because you don't want it to end.
You don't feel the runtime at all.
No.
It's an essential story. The pacing is perfect, and the cast is just outstanding. It's one of those, I have it on my notes here, it's one of the films from this year, or from 2015, that I truly will survive the test of time. It's going to be one that future generations will be able to enjoy about as much as you can enjoy a movie about reporters discovering such disgusting crimes.
Like a really good adult procedural is rare.
Oh yeah.
And this is the real deal. You know, a lot of people are talking about it being the quote unquote front runner for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Best picture.
That's right.
You see it for yourself.
That's what I say.
I don't take any other people's stupidity. Watch it for yourself. I think it's really damn good. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those performances, man, just not a false note in the cast.
Yeah, but who's the supporting actor and who's the lead actor? Shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're all good. How about that?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, great film, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's our co-number 8.
Yeah. So I guess you can talk about your number 7.
Mistress America, I already talked about it.
Oh, hey, all right.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yes.
Love that movie.
Thumbs up to Lola Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. Okay, my number 7. Sicario, Denis Villeneuve film. Pause.
Not on my list.
Oh,
not on my list.
Oh,
I only rated Sicario 4.5 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really great film. But
oh man,
I know how much you liked it too.
I love this film. It is pure, raw, bottled tension at its finest. You can put that on the poster. Maybe I'll go pencil it on my Blu-ray.
That shit's on Blu-ray?
Yeah, it just came out on Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
I picked it up. I watched the movie and then watched like the extra hour of extra features. It is a phenomenal film.
It's funny how I told people to go and see it and they'd all come back to me and go, holy crap, that first 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, that first 10 minutes. That's good stuff.
Oh, totally.
And I'm like, what about that last 10 minutes? Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good stuff, too. Oh, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's quite a bookend.
Yeah.
It's beautiful the way that works.
The year of really kick-ass female roles, man, like Sicario and Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
Both leading film.
What I love about this film is that, just a little bit about Sicario, if maybe you haven't heard of it or don't know the premise.
Shame on you.
Shame on you if you haven't seen it. Emily Blunt plays a character who is fighting criminals. She's banging down doors. She's capturing criminals. She's like on a SWAT team pretty much. But she gets recruited to join a special task force to fight the people across the border. And they're going to take down a drug lord in Mexico. He's not only just a drug lord, you know, he's responsible for, you know, murdering people and kidnapping, prostitution, pretty much all the worst things you can imagine.
Heard he's pretty good at drywall, too.
That's right. Do not hire his contractors to do your drywall.
No.
But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful film shot by Roger Deakins, one of the finest cinematographers in the world.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And the special feature is they talk about how they use the aerial photography to show the just dread of the landscape, of the flat landscape. But there's no life. It's all just desert and hot and gross. And they also talked about sort of the parallels of how there's only a line dividing us. A lot of really powerful images. There's an image of the task force walking into the landscape, and it almost swallows them because it's taking place during sunset. The way they shoot it, it's just breathtaking. It's one of the better shot films of the year.
Oh yeah. Like seriously, another reason why the Oscar sucks, Roger Deakins has never won an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is a genius. You might have heard this before, my love of Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Roger Deakins.
Yeah, he's the master.
My God.
He tells the narrative with the way he shoots the film.
Yep.
The way the camera moves, the placement. And Benicio del Toro, one of my favorite performances of the year. I think it he flies under the radar for a lot of people because he doesn't have a shouty Oscar speech, or he doesn't cry. He's not.
You kind of get the fact that he's probably seen some shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He's seen some shit.
He's very quiet. Yeah. A lot of his performance is unspoken. I think that's amazing. I could talk about this for another 2 hours, but I'll stop it there.
Shut up.
Yeah. So my number seven film is Sicario.
All right. So my number six film is Carol.
Okay, nice.
Is it on your list?
Not on my list.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
There's the first shocker in your list for me.
Yeah.
Todd Haynes directed this lesbian drama on 16mm.
Yes.
So we got 70mm and we got 16mm coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
Anchored by two really amazing performances, one from Rooney Mara, the lead.
She is by far the lead.
You heard that. She's the lead. And Cate Blanchett as the Veronica Lake tall blonde. Everything about this film is just, you know, the look, the way they act, just everything is beautiful. And it's all done by, like, really cool facial expressions. Like, you just get what they're doing. Rooney Mara is just out of this world good in this film. Everything she does, like, just the way her face moves, just, I was blown away by this movie just because of that.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't work without Rooney Mara's facial features.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. I don't quite like it as much as David Ehrlich likes it.
Yeah.
Because he's like the champion of Carol.
Oh, yeah.
If you go on Twitter, David Ehrlich does not shut up about Carol.
That's right.
And it's the sixth best film of the year, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's one thing I really appreciate about the film is just how profound even a shoulder tap means, yep, in this film. A shoulder tap carries so much more weight in this film than it does in any other romance film. So that kind of thing, really, I really appreciated it.
Cool. Yeah, it's a lovely film, man.
Yeah, yeah. And if you haven't seen it, I believe it's in theaters right now. Highly recommend it.
That was my number six.
My number six, Anomalisa. This
not
film
on my list.
Not on Bill's list. That's cool, man. It's a deeply complex character with layered themes about happiness, satisfaction, love, loneliness, everything in between.
And naughty puppet sex.
Naughty puppet sex. That's right. Yeah, it's a stop motion animation film, all voiced predominantly by three voice actors: David Thewlis in the lead, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Tom Noonan. I think they're all really great. They all bring tons to this film.
I just thought it took a while to get going, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, I enjoyed the build-up. I enjoyed the whole build-up, the relatable things, catching the taxi from the airport, hanging out in your hotel room, getting ready.
Yeah.
And being lonely, because you know, I think all of us at one point in our lives have been there, hotel room by yourself, being fucking bored to tears, trying to find a way to entertain yourself. And maybe we haven't done this, but along the way you find something that's beautiful and very attractive at the time. And
I make it sound like I'm down on the film. I still rate it a 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah.
It was like my second to last film at the Vancouver Festival last year.
Yeah.
It was a film 89 of 90.
Oh, wow.
In 2.5 weeks.
That's right.
I might have been a little tired.
That's pretty heavy, man.
I haven't watched it again, but yeah. I respect the hell out of it. The last, as I said, it takes a little while to get going. Last part is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No flaw. Glad it's on your list.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So, yeah. It's intimate, very moving. One of the most emotional reactions I had all of last year. And you know me, I'm an emotional dude. So, yeah, my number six, Anomalisa. I believe it's coming out very soon. So look for it. Check it out.
Cool. My number five is a film I think is on your list too. The Hateful Eight.
It is on my list.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's higher.
It is higher.
Nice. All right, so we always talked about this last episode, so I won't spend too much time on it. Do you like exploitation Western films? There you go.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one.
This is the one.
Done Quentin Tarantino style, so everything's kind of ramped up.
Yeah.
You got some violence. You got some language. It might feel a little inappropriate, but I think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
The acting, the 70 millimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thing is, somebody after I saw the film and they saw the film were like, where would you put this in your Quentin Tarantino top five or whatever? And I'm like, I don't really want to put these movies in an order. But yeah. You know what? I still think this is like probably like my number four or five of like Tarantino.
Oh, okay.
Really like this one. Later in your list?
Yeah, it's a bit higher. Everything you said and the score is phenomenal. I just love the experience as well. I think the experience factors in a little bit on my decision to put it in my top 10. You know, the Roadshow edition, that was so cool. Yeah, I just love the presentation, going to the movies and the whole experience of being entertained. And I love that experience, and I'm not sure we'll ever get that again, that whole going to the movies, lining up, overture to start the film.
Well, I don't think Tarantino's going to stop now that he's started.
I certainly hope so.
And plus, Christopher Nolan is 70 millimeter straight now. He's doing the full film in 70.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Resurgence.
Yeah, I love this film.
Can I say something really controversial?
Do it.
All right, cool.
That's what we're all about.
So we saw Interstellar in 70 millimeter.
Yes.
And it looked twice as good as Hateful Eight.
It did.
Yeah.
He did do a better job.
Man, Interstellar in 70 millimeter is stunning.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. Not that Hateful Eight was bad looking, but man, if you ever get a chance to see Interstellar in 70, holy shit, that is nice.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? When you mention it, I agree with you.
Yeah. Cool. Nice to be right.
Yeah. So that's your number five.
That is my number five, the Hateful Eight.
And my higher rank.
Nice.
I'll get to it in a bit. My number five, I know for a fact this will not be on your list. Inside Out.
Correct.
The animated film.
Correct.
Yes. I just love this one. For me, it's a layup. It's a slam dunk. I'm an emotional guy. This movie is about emotions. And I think it's very complex and very smart in its approach to the way emotions work. Some people try to dismiss the techniques used to display emotions in this animated film. But I think they probably did their homework, and I'd like to think that this is a nice way to approach how emotions work. And I loved the performances from Phyllis Smith, Richard Kind, and Amy Poehler in that order. This is definitely one of the hardest cries I had at the movies. And you know which scene, if you've seen Inside Out. Oh my goodness. Nice, I was nice, a sloppy, nice. Sloppy mess. And this one, I think it has potential to help families and individuals cope with feelings. I think that's a good thing. Definitely helped me, because as you know, I talk about this all the time. I wear my heart on my sleeve, proudly embrace the tears that roll down my 3D glasses as I watch movies like this.
Nice. One thing I like, it's obviously not on my top 10, not on my top 20.
Yeah.
I rate it 4.5 out of 5. I like the film quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Cool thing I like about Inside Out, along with Star Wars, is that both films hid something from you.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
There's a cool character in Inside Out that nobody had a clue existed.
Yeah,
nobody had a clue about the plot of Star Wars. Now, that, to me, is a really cool thing. People got to do that more often.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the reason why I think Inside Out worked, because that character is like a really big backbone in that film.
Oh, totally.
And he didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good film. Just don't think it's quite there. Sorry.
It's all good.
Such an asshole.
You can't see these dirty looks I'm giving Bill right
whatever,
now.
Whatever, but it's like, it's, you know, it's all good, man. It's all good. And I'm like the only person who didn't like perfect rating that film, so.
That's right.
I am an anomaly.
It's not on your top 10, you son of a bitch.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All good, man.
Yeah. My number four.
Number four.
Youth.
Nice.
Adrian has not seen this one.
I've not seen it.
A tale of a composer who is retired due to reasons I'm not going to say, and his friend and his daughter and another friend. Nice. I'm being really vague here.
Yeah.
It's a movie you kind of have to experience. Paolo Sorrentino, I think, is a real genius. He made a film a couple of years ago called The Great Beauty, which I wasn't totally down with.
Okay.
Because it was so excessive. Everything was turned up to 15.
Oh, wow.
Not 10, 15. And this one is 5. It's really toned back. And Michael Caine, Harvey Keitel, Rachel Weisz, Paul Dano are in this film, and they're all just amazing. Especially, everybody's talking about Paul Dano for Love and Mercy. No, Paul Dano for Youth.
Nice.
Yeah, Michael Caine for Youth.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel hasn't been this interested in since Reservoir Dogs.
20 years.
Yeah. And Michael, you know, we all know about Michael Caine. You know, Steve Coogan does a really good imitation. Yeah. But it's a beautiful film. I've talked about it before, and I didn't like talking about it then. Mm-hmm. Just see it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Nice.
It's a really weird slice of life.
Wicked.
And there's a really cool guy playing Diego Maradona in the film.
Oh, no way.
So if you like footy,
damn it,
Diego Maradona. Yeah. So, yeah, enjoy that film. Maybe we'll talk about it on Twitter after you've seen it.
Right on.
Youth. Sorry for not talking about it, but yeah. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah. Some of them you don't want to get into too much into it. That's kind of like my number four.
Cool.
My number four is The Tribe.
Nice.
That's a film that's it's about deaf teenagers at a boarding school. They're all in a gang. Super, super gangster. They get into a lot of illegal activities, muggings, prostitution, all kinds of stuff.
A film that shouldn't work because you probably shouldn't be able to figure out what's going on. Because there's no dialogue. It's just them making grunts and signing things.
Yeah.
Shouldn't work.
It's sign language with no subtitles.
But I can tell you, it really works because we were at a really hardcore festival called Fantastic Fest where people are, you know, they're pretty hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
And we walked out of that screening. Everybody been hit by a truck.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beast. This is already Bill approved. This was my number two of last year.
Yeah.
And nothing but praise, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that movie destroys. I've seen it twice. I don't know if I ever need to see it again, just because it's so hard to watch. That's not a negative thing, though. It's beautiful, just the way it's shot. We've talked about it a lot on the show.
Yeah.
For good reason. It's a great film.
I love its destructiveness.
Oh, yeah.
I could totally watch it again. I said that the first time, but that second time, I really got around to its beauty, and it's really beautiful. It's got some amazing, like, Steadicam shots in that
film. Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, does that have Steadicam shots?
Yeah.
It's amazingly brutal. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with violence, not your film.
Yeah.
Ooh, not your film. Yeah. But, it's amazing stuff, man. Good choice.
Yeah, number four, The Tribe.
Number three, Steve Jobs.
Nice. Not on my list.
Oh, dude!
I know, right? I knew this was the one you were going to scold me for.
So this was actually my number two until about 4 hours ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I really love Steve Jobs.
Oh, nice.
My number three and two are interchangeable. They're both next level. Danny Boyle's holy shit, Aaron Sorkin scripted story of Steve Jobs told in three different stories about three different product launches of Apple / Next.
Yeah.
Can't forget that.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender just killing it. Kate Winslet just killing it. Everybody just killing it. To me, it's all about Aaron Sorkin. You know, just an amazing script. I'm so shocked this isn't on your list.
I know, dude. It's crazy. So crazy. There's only so much room.
Oh, dude, if you have Victor Frankenstein on your list.
Yeah. Get ready.
No, highest recommendation on this film. We've already talked about it. Nothing but love, man. Nothing but love. I've seen this film 5 times.
Already. Nice.
And I said it before. I'll say it again. I can watch it every day.
Nice.
It is that awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
And Fassbender just totally chewing up the entire world in this film.
Yeah, everybody is. just a lovely film. It's already gone from theaters. Didn't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Check it on Blu-ray next month. It's amazing.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to talk about really quick here, I think I mentioned it on our review of it, but Seth Rogen, he doesn't get enough love, I don't think, from people. who watched it. I thought he turned in one of the better performances of a supporting role. And it was just so the opposite of what he normally does. And I thought it was great. I would love to see him do more stuff like this.
Yeah, man. It's just a lovely film. Yeah. My number three, Steve Jobs.
Right on. My number three, we talked about it already. The Hateful Eight.
Nice.
Yeah, I made my top three at number three.
For some reason, I thought this was going to be your number one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Ah.
Not quite. You were really jazzed after that screening.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I was so pumped, man. Yeah. I was like some kind of Mountain Dew bro, just totally jacked up after drinking Mountain Dew.
Well, you did have that fucked up Starbucks drink before it.
I did. With the heart in it.
What the hell was that shit? It was like strawberry or something? It was
a strawberry latte.
Oh, dude, it was like pink.
Yeah, man.
It had a weird foam on it.
Oh, so tasty.
Yeah, Adrian got high off the strawberry drink.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Man, with my number five, your number three. Can't beat that.
Yeah. So back to you for number two.
All right. My number two, if this isn't on your list, I'm going to slap you in the fucking face. The Look of Silence.
Also my number two.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to get fucking angry there, dude.
I slow rolled you on that one, dude.
Yes. Joshua Oppenheimer's sequel to The Act of Killing, which was a really hard documentary to watch. In a completely different way than this one, which is also really hard to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Just about the Act of Killing was about the people who did a genocide.
Yeah.
This is about somebody whose brother was killed in the genocide, and he wants answers.
Yeah.
And he's not going to stop until he gets those answers, even if he puts himself in the really harshest situations possible.
A lot of dangerous positions here.
Yeah. Like, this movie is... It's hard to watch, but don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
It is a masterpiece.
It is.
Yeah, the best documentary of the year, by far.
Yeah.
There's been some really damn good documentaries this year.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, number two, if this, any other year, I say this a lot, but other year, this is my number one.
Oh, yeah.
Untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah, remember we saw it last February, and you were like, that's my number one film. Like, nothing's touching it. And for me, it was up there, too. I was like,
"Yeah,
what's going to top that?
Dude, we could barely stand after that screening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an incredible film. And yeah, the premise on its own is terrifying. Taking one of the victims to interview these murderers. At any time, they could have been killed during the making of this film. Yeah. And in the credits, you've got people who have no... There, it says anonymous for the cast credits, so...
Oh, and people who worked on the film.
Yeah, the people who worked on it.
And he's not exaggerating. It probably is on that 50 times, people who couldn't be named.
Yeah.
It's kind of wacky.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't know how Joshua Oppenheimer's still alive.
Yeah, he really shouldn't be.
No, like, they... These people were, you know, you probably haven't, I don't know if you've seen The Act of Killing, but these people were just brutal. Like, they would kill people with piano wire.
And they're still in power,
too. Yeah, and they enjoyed doing it. Scary dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, this is just next level stuff, man.
Yeah.
Next level.
Yeah. I read an interview where they always had two vehicles ready to go. The main transport vehicle and like a backup parked around the block kind of thing in case they had to pick up and run. That's terrifying. Like, how many people did that over the course of however many years it took for him to make this film?
Yeah. And the really cool thing is Adrian got to meet Joshua Oppenheimer in Southwest, and I've never been so jealous of you in my entire life.
Yeah. That was definitely a highlight of last year for sure. And he's the kindest, most gentle person I met last year. And
he would have to be, man. Like, this, how could you make this without being, like, just the nicest person in the world? Because you would have to be.
Yeah.
Because if it would be me or you, we would have, like, got a knife and started killing people or something. Because this is brutal.
Would have broke, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, it's on Blu-ray on Tuesday, so Amazon's already sending my copy.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be able to see that again. Can't wait. Did it actually open in Victoria?
Yeah, the Vic Theater
played it
for a week, I think.
Yeah, Draft House Films. they're doing film well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, check it out. Yeah. Look of Silence. Our mutual number two.
Number two. Right on. No slaps.
Yeah.
So I guess my number one?
Yes, your number one.
Do you know what my number one is?
Son of Saul.
So yeah, when I saw Look of Silence at the Victoria Film Festival, I screamed out, that's going to be my favorite film of the year, until I saw Son of Saul, where I was at the Vancouver Film Festival, and I screamed out, this is my number one film of the year, and nothing is touching it.
Right on,
and dude. It was in September. So yeah, this is sounds really gross, and I hate saying this, but this is the definitive Auschwitz movie. Nice.
Put that stamp on the Blu-ray cover.
So brutal saying that.
Yeah.
But there will never be another Holocaust movie like this.
Wow.
It's shot from say they put the camera on Saul's shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's an Academy format.
Yeah.
It's really super tight. And everything, he's one of the guys that after the Germans gassed all the Jews, he'd be the guy that, and his friends, would go in there, pick the bodies up, and clean up the area after people had died.
That's gross.
Sounds real fun, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing this, and he looks down, and his son is in with the bodies.
Oh, man.
And he's still alive. He's coughing, but he's dying.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is Saul trying to figure out how he's going to give his son a proper burial. So meanwhile, I'm like Adrian. I'm a fucking mess.
Yeah.
This movie is just incredible. It's so hard to watch, but it's essential. You have to see it.
Yeah.
And by the end of the film, there was no choice in this, man. Number one.
Nice.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And I love Look of Silence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge, because I know, I was there when you saw Look of Silence, and you're like, nothing's touching that. And for this to dethrone that, that's huge.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it opens pretty much, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
So I hope you like it, man.
Yeah.
It's not an easy watch, but it's wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That good, eh?
Yeah.
Right on. I believe it also screens in like 35mm. DCP?
I saw a DCP of it.
Okay.
But I played a Fantastic Fest in 35.
That's right, and I missed it.
I know. I was like, oh, it's a Fantastic Fest. Adrian would totally see it, so I don't totally enough to remind him to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Adrian didn't see it.
Whatever.
Adrian was getting high around the... by the highball.
That's right. I was drinking too many beers.
Yeah. Eat some of them garlic fries. I fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's so good.
That's all I ate at Fantastic Fest. was garlic fries and that, like, carnivore pizza.
Yeah. Carnivore is awesome.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what your number one is.
Nice. Drum roll. Number one. Mad Max Fury Road. Oh,
fuck yeah.
It's so obvious.
I feel dumb now. Sorry.
No. Yeah, this was, man, this big screen experience, this grand scale film of Charlize Theron just kicking ass.
Another huge female role.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And what gets me about this film is that the narrative is very simple on the surface, but there are a lot of themes going on there. There's like power struggle. There's resource management. He's making commentary on gender roles. And there's one very beautiful moment where Max is trying to take out this guy with a sniper rifle, and he's not a good shot. Not as good as Charlize Theron's character, Furiosa. And she's just like, give me the rifle. And she takes a shot and hits the dude. And it's a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Right on.
And this movie has a guy named the Doof Warrior. He's a guy who plays a guitar on this massive vehicle that has war drums on it. And he just inspires the troops with his rock and roll. I love that.
Almost the best guitar. Part. The best part of the film was almost, going to IMDb and looking up the character names.
Yeah.
So great.
They're crazy names.
Yeah. much love for Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah.
It is further down on my list.
Okay.
Yes.
Right on. Yeah, the last comment I want to make is the firestorm is the pinnacle of cinema, in my opinion. That whole sequence. It does something to me, man. Like, when I watch, every time I watch it, and I say every time because I've seen it so many times, I get emotional, and I can't tell you why. It's just the pure awesomeness of that sequence unfolding in front of me just rocks me. And it's not that I feel sad or happy. I'm just so blown away, and it just takes over, and something happens to my body, and
you feel tingly.
I totally break down. Yeah. So yeah, Fury Road.
Sparkle like a vampire. One last thing about Mad Max. Adrian talked about the big screen experience. Don't let that stop you from buying that Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
That Blu-ray is damn awesome.
It's great.
That sound on that. And then the picture. They're reference leveled, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the Blu-ray of Mad Max is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
For sure.
That's your number one?
My number one.
That's awesome.
Fury Road. Do you want to quickly recap?
Sure.
10 through 1, and then we'll talk about our honorable mentions, 11 through 20.
All right, let's do them all at once. Number 10, The Big Short. Number 9, 45 Years. Number 8, Spotlight. Number 7, Mistress America. Number 6, Carol. Number 5, The Hateful Eight. Number 4, Youth. Number 3, Steve Jobs. Number 2, The Look of Silence. And number 1, Son of Saul.
Cool. My number 10, Mistress America. Number 9, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Number 8, Spotlight. Number 7, Sicario. Number 6, Anomalisa. Number 5, Inside Out. Number 4, The Tribe. Number 3, The Hateful Eight. Number 2, The Look of Silence. Number 1, Mad Max Fury Road. Wicked, man. So that's our top 10. With the process, it's hard to narrow down just the top 10. So, just like last year, we're going to talk about our films we rank 11 through 20. So, what do you have for your 11 through 20?
This is the part of the list that I'm kind of curious about you, your list. This is because I don't really know what's going to be on. There's probably some gems in there.
Oh, yeah.
So that I'm not thinking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my 11 to 20, they're all 5-star films.
Wicked.
Everything on my list is a 5-star film.
Right on.
That's why my shit's definitive.
There you go.
Number 11, Adrian's number one film of the year, Mad Max Fury Road.
Hey, all right.
It's a lovely film.
It's great.
We just talked about it. Mustang, number 12.
Nice.
We talked about that last episode. Find that one. It's a beauty. A really, truly uplifting story about 5 young girls who just refuse to back down to the system, man. It's right beautiful.
On. Right on.
Number 13, Ex Machina.
Right on.
Alex Garland and his debut film, pretty much making one of the best sci-fi films in the last 5 to 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody's great in it. You've probably already seen it because it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Number 14, a little bit of a sneak preview for all your punk asses for next year, or I guess this year.
Yeah.
Green Room.
Yeah.
Nice. It's, wow. where did I start on this one?
It's fucking punk rock, dude.
A punk band goes and performs at a Nazi compound and shit goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to say much more.
Yeah.
Opens in April.
It's a ride, man.
Yeah. We've both seen it. It's amazing. Number 15, Beasts of No Nation.
Nice.
The Netflix movie. But don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
This is not a drop in quality because it's on Netflix.
No. No.
Supposedly Netflix paid a lot of money for this film, knowing they would lose money just to do it.
That's insane.
I'm just like, how much money is Netflix making?
Yeah. Yeah, that must be printing money.
Yeah, but Abraham Atta and Idris Elba just killing it in this film.
Oh, yeah. It's quite literally.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. There's a lot of violence. It's about a child soldier.
Yeah.
And it's a nasty film, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Masterpiece. Number 16, The Force Awakens.
Hey.
I screwed you on that one. I didn't tell you. Yeah, sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah, love me some Star Wars. Talked a lot about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want to see it at least 5 more times before it leaves.
Nice.
And I don't think it's leaving anytime soon.
Nope.
Number 17, The Martian.
Nice.
Don't know if this is going to be on your list.
It's not on my list.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
As I said, my stuff's definitive. The Martian, Ridley Scott, who I haven't really been a big fan of lately.
No,
he's made a lot of good films, let's be honest. Yeah. And yeah, this one's great. It's one of the true crowd pleasers of the year.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody's seen it, I'm sure. number 18. I'm sure this isn't on your list. Room.
No.
Starting out that
sorry.
Blue-eyed cracker kid.
That white boy.
Yeah. And Brie Larson, who is just amazing.
Oh, she is great.
Yeah. They're stuck in a room, and they, you know, some bad stuff happens. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to ruin that for you.
Yeah.
But it's more of the second half to me that about the whole idea of what happens after that. I think it's just brilliant stuff.
Right on.
Adrian loves it. number 19, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Sweet.
Is it on your list?
It is on my list.
Good. Kind of a forgotten film, so we're bringing it back.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, we're bringing it back. It's a lovely, lovely film featuring some of the great cinematography of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the feels, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even I might have cried during this
rips
one.
Rips out the heartstrings.
Yeah, great film. If you haven't seen it, track it down. It's on Blu-ray. And number 20... I think it's the only other documentary on my list.
Okay.
This better be on your list too.
I can tell you, it just got knocked off.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's what I think it is.
Call Me Lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Sorry, man.
Barry Crimmins, this comedian who had a really bad childhood, but man, as he tried to redeem himself, and it's like everything about his life has become about trying to fix him what happened in his childhood, even if that means like pretty much destroying himself.
Oh yeah.
And it's a brilliant documentary from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
And I listened to a podcast with him, Bobcat and Barry Crimmins, on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
A couple days ago. It's nice. A pretty good podcast.
Right on.
Lovely documentary. I think it's on Netflix.
It is. Yeah.
Cool. That's it.
Yeah, that would be my number 21 of the year, probably.
Damn.
It's a great film.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I know how much you like that one, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that film. All right, I'll go through my list. Quick and dirty, as they say, because we've talked about these a lot over the last year.
These are all great films.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. And a lot of these, at one point or another, they were in the conversation for me for top 10.
Do you have a short?
I do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of films.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure he's got that in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's probably, I would say, two or three. Yeah, at least two or three that'll throw you off a bit.
Okay, cool. That's cool. Don't be ashamed if I laugh at it. It's happened before.
It has. my number 11, Ex Machina, next level sci-fi. Garland's the man. Bill just talked about it. I agree with everything Bill said. It's a beautiful film.
Nice.
It's what I love about it is there's a bit of a heist element to that film that just adds to the thrills. It's such a good film.
Plus, hey, man, repeat viewings of that film bring out stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's my kind of film.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I love rewatching films, and I love discovering new things in films I've already watched.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one of them.
Cool.
Number 12, Tangerine. This is a character film that just knocked me on my ass. It was very, very dangerously close to making top 10. Things happened, and I rearranged some stuff.
It's a good year, man.
Yeah. I love this film. In the conversation of final shots of the film, this is right up there for me. Tangerine, it's available on Netflix USA. Highly, highly recommended if you haven't seen it already.
That's cool. Not on my list.
That's right. number 13, The Big Short. We just talked about it in our last episode, and it was on Bill's list.
My number 10.
Number 10, that's right. It's a great film. It pained me that this didn't make the top 10. It's one that I think I'll be able to, you know, watch every now and again. It's interesting that I'm about to make this statement. I believe the author of the Big Short book also wrote Moneyball.
He did, yeah.
This film is a lot like Moneyball, that I'll be able to just throw it on whenever and enjoy it at any time. I love rewatching Moneyball. I'm sure I'll enjoy rewatching this one all over again. Number 14, World of Tomorrow.
Nice. The Short.
The Short. Don Hertzfeldt's Short. This film rocked me big time. It's, how long is it? 15?
I thought it was 16.
16 minutes? Yeah. Man, this is a great, great film about the mortality of humans, pretty much. Some beautiful ideas in this. Yeah, this film just has tremendous voice acting. And Don Hertzfeldt's niece does the voice of, what's her name? Emily Prime?
Emily Prime.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love that aspect of this film. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend you check it out. It's on Vimeo. I believe there's a Blu-ray in the works.
Yeah, they had a Kickstarter for the Blu-ray.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's super, super cool.
I will buy it.
Yeah.
I still remember you came over to record a podcast, and I'm like, dude, we're going to watch something.
Oh, yeah.
And then we watched this World Tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, holy shit.
That's right.
Oh, so happy you dug that.
So and, good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my number 14, World of Tomorrow. Number 15, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Nice.
Bill just talked about this one. Beautiful film. One of my favorite films to watch because it's so beautifully shot. I forgot the name of the cinematographer. He shot like Old Boy and Sympathy for
Mr.
Vengeance. Yeah. He shot a lot of really great films. He shot Stoker.
He's Park Chan-wook's DP.
Yeah, that's right. Really, really great film. Hits me right in the heartstrings. Just annihilated me big time.
Why aren't people talking about this film?
I don't know, man.
I don't get it.
I don't really get it either. Yeah. My number 16, The Boy and the Beast. This is a film we just talked about last episode. Bill talked about it in the lightning round. Yeah, this one just, it's, I wanted to put this on my list because I love the animation. I love the artistry of the film. It's an animated film. But it's like hand-drawn. It's not thrown through a computer. It's not CGI. Not to take away from CGI artists. Like, I'm not...
Fuck them.
But there's a lot of... To me, there's a lot more romance in an animation film like this. And it helps that the story is just absolutely wonderful.
Maybe I would have liked Inside Out more if it had been hand-drawn.
Hey, maybe. Could be.
Fuck you, Pixar.
Number 17, Creed. I don't think it's made your list, did it?
No, but it's a lovely film.
Yeah. It's underdog film, Rocky Part 7.
No, dude, Rocky 1.5.
Yeah. I love this film. Big fan of Coogler, big fan of Michael B. Jordan. I will sign up to see anything these guys make, so... Yeah, don't know what else I can say.
Guessing it'll be a Creed sequel.
Yeah, that's right.
Made a lot of money.
It did.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So glad it got popular. Yeah. But I didn't think it was going to be popular.
That's right. My number 18, this was your number 3, Steve Jobs.
Wow.
Yeah. Man, this film kicks so much ass. Dialogue-driven, Aaron Sorkin, just... Amazing. Yeah, I really enjoyed this film. It's on my top 20. So, yeah, it's my number 18. I'm not sure what else I can add to the conversation. Yeah, I love Steve Jobs and was definitely just completely destroyed after I watched the film the first time. Haven't seen it a second time. I'll have to get around to that. My number 19, this might be a bit of a curveball. It's The Club, Pablo Larraín's latest film. I believe it's the Oscar entry for Chile this year.
I think so. Which is funny because all the people in the committee are going to have to watch The Club.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a devastating movie to watch.
Which is funny, too, because a lot of people at the film fest I saw it at did not like the film.
Really?
I loved it. I saw it twice.
Yeah. Well, I can sort of see that, though, because it is very heavy content. It's about It's about a household of priests who've all been put there because they, at one point or another, sexually, physically abused children. And something happened.
The feel-good hit of the movie.
Yeah, the feel-good movie of the year. Something, there's a big event that happens in the beginning of the film. A man goes there to investigate these guys, uncovers some stuff. And I'm being deliberately vague.
Yeah, this movie isn't really out yet, so you'll probably be able to experience this later in the year, but I also highly recommend this one. Not on my top 20 or whatever, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it is outstanding. And one that just totally crushed me. I saw it at Fantastic Fest, and after I watched it, I was like, I'm done. I'm going back to my room. I'm going to go curl up.
I remember after I saw it, too, I texted you, and I'm like, dude, watch out for the club.
Yeah, I know. I think that actually put it on my radar. Oh, no, wait. I noticed it was from Pablo Larraín, so never mind.
Yeah, the director of the really criminally underrated film No.
Yeah.
Which is also a masterpiece.
It is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pablo Larraín's next movie is called Jackie.
Oh, really?
About Jacqueline Onassis.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
With Natalie Portman in the lead.
Wow.
And I was just like, what?
Yeah, sign me up for that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Right on. And rounding out my top 20, at number 20 is Beasts of No Nation.
Nice.
We just talked about this one.
Sweet.
Really great film. Devastating journey, but totally essential.
Come on, you bastards. You all have Netflix.
Yeah, get on it.
Don't be like Adrian and after I talked about it 2 months ago.
That's right. Yeah, I was doing my 2015 catch up and I was like, oh, I'll start out with this light film, Beasts of No Nation. Yeah, devastating, heartbreaking, but absolutely essential. And a couple of really great performances from Elba and what's the kid's name?
Abraham
Atta. Yeah. Great stuff.
That's a really good film year, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great year. Sweet. So that wraps up top 20 films 2015.
Let's talk about some shit.
Yeah. So last year we did a full episode of the worst movies we watched, but that was exhausting, wasn't it?
It kind of was.
It sucks. Like, you know what? Making a worst movies of the year list takes no effort.
But we have to do it. We've already talked about these movies, but we didn't pay to see them, right?
We paid to see them. We spent the time to watch them. And God damn it, this is our show.
Pretty much.
So f*** you if you disagree with us. Turn us off. Hit unsubscribe.
Luckily, my films are absolute shit.
That's so right.
I even broke one of my rules on this one. I have like a co-number two.
Oh, really?
Which is like something I never do.
Right on, dude.
But it's appropriate.
Nice. Well, yeah, we picked three movies, right?
Three movies.
Yeah. I didn't really rank them.
But I could have had 10 horror films.
Oh, at least 10 horror films. Yeah. Why don't you do your quick and dirty gross worst films of the year.
All right, number three, Sisters.
Oh.
Talk about that last episode. It's utter shite.
Yeah.
Utter shite.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, shame on you. Number two, my co-number two, just because I really hated Joy.
Yeah, yeah.
Really hated Joy. But David O. Russell had another film this year that he abandoned and put a fake name on so people wouldn't know what it was. It's called Accidental Love.
Yeah.
It is really terrible. There's a reason why he left, but he also made it. So that's fuck right. You, David O. Russell.
Yeah, screw you, dude.
My number two, Accidental Love and Joy. And number one, if Son of Saul was like the breakaway number one, nothing touching it film, then Human Centipede 3 Final Sequence was the untouchable worst film of the maybe my entire life.
No way.
I hated this
that
film.
Bad.
Oh, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. There's nothing even close to this. Even like, it's not even a film.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
Oh, man.
It's on Netflix. So if you're dumb.
Yeah.
If you're really dumb.
Yeah.
Watch Human Centipede 3.
Nice.
And then tweet me. You should have listened to me.
You should have listened to Bill.
Even my fucking worst films are definitive. Like, there's nothing worse than Human Centipede 3. Right
on. Well, I'm glad I didn't watch it. Oh,
yeah, it's if you had, I hate that film.
Yeah.
Fuck that film.
Right on, dude. Human Centipede 3. Skip it if you haven't skipped it already. Yeah, that makes sense. Keep skipping it.
Keep skipping it.
Right on.
We do this for stuff. We like watch these films so you don't have to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what we do. All right, I'll talk about my worst three films I watched this year. Number three, you mentioned this one earlier, Get Hard.
Nice.
Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart, setting back humankind about, 20, 30 years?
At least.
Just homophobic jokes.
Racial humor that racial doesn't humor. Work.
It's just gross.
Yeah.
This film is not funny. It's just offensive. And that's what they're trying to go for. Like, they're just trying to push the limits. But no, you guys are just assholes with no imagination.
Nice. If it had been a top five, it would have been number four.
Yeah. It's very, very bad. Number two, Poltergeist. The laziest piece of shit remake.
I forgot about that film.
What a piece of garbage.
Oh, it's
a
terrible film. As I said, like, it could have been at least 10 horror films.
Yeah. And this is just god awful. You know, I know people are in the movie industry to make money, and Poltergeist is a big franchise, but god damn it, it's one of the all-timers, and this is an absolute abomination of the Poltergeist franchise.
Hollywood ruining our childhood.
Yeah. And it's not just that it's a bad Poltergeist movie. It's just a bad movie, period.
Nice.
It could have been named anything else. It could have been named Scary Haunted House Cemetery House, something stupid like that. And it's just as bad.
Scary Cemetery. What the fuck? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm making shit up. Yeah, that's how heated I get when I talk about Poltergeist.
Nice.
So yeah, number two, Poltergeist. Number one, the laziest, dumbest, stupidest horror film I watched last year.
Is it The Gallows?
The Gallows.
Yes!
What a piece of garbage.
Right on.
Completely relying on jumps in the soundtrack, cranking up, smashing bottle behind the person holding the camera. It is just so stupid. It's not scary. The characters suck. It's as if they just kind of... It's almost like they made a mumblecore found footage film that's really bad. Mumblecore found footage horror film.
Jason Blum is like a cancer on the film industry. Except for Unfriended. I like that one.
Unfriended was one of the surprises.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah. I hated this film too. It was I'm just happy I was able to pick your number one. The Gallows.
The Gallows. Ding, ding, ding. So yeah, that was number one.
Nice.
I meant to read this earlier. I put it on our Facebook just for anybody to chime in on their favorite films of the year. And a good buddy of ours, Will Lindis from Movie Bears Podcast. Shout out Movie Bears Podcast.
Hell yeah.
Good friends of the show. If you don't listen to them, check them out. They've got a lot of really cool insight on movies, and it's a hangout podcast.
Think they're doing their top 10 this week too.
That's right. Nice. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. They just did their Movie Bears Podcast Awards, where they awarded, you know, their favorite films and best performances, stuff like that.
Didn't they give your favorite white hair cracker kid an award?
I think so. Jacob nice. Tremblay for supporting actor. That's all good. I'll let it slide.
Nice.
I'll let it slide. So yeah, Will chimed in on this comment for when I asked for people to talk about their favorite films. I'll just read off his comment. This is always such a hard time of the year for the consummate film fan. I'm still nailing down my top 10 list with about 20 films in consideration. But right now, I'd probably go with Mad Max, Fury Road, Spotlight, and Anomalisa as my top three films of the year. So that's Will chiming in. So thanks right for checking us out, Will, and thanks for commenting.
Thanks for having a good podcast.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah. So I got a couple other stupid awards.
Hey, there you go.
Because I'm me. Do you have a favorite TV show?
Oh, favorite. Let me think about that. You jump into that.
All right. So, yeah, my favorite TV show of the year is Mr. Robot.
Nice.
A show that kind of snuck up on me. It's really twisted. And you wouldn't think this show would even exist because it's so weird. It's on like a USA network in the US, which is a really big TV network. And it's like a super strange sci-fi show that screws with people. And it's really popular.
Wow.
Usually shows like this get canceled. But it's got a second season. It had a second season before it even aired. They were that confident in it.
Oh, really?
So if you haven't watched Mr. Robot, holy shit, that next level TV. Also, a big shout out to Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, cool.
I love that show.
Nice.
Also coming back for season 3, which is weird because I know nobody who watches it. But I do, and I love it.
Hey, Marina watches it, right?
Does she? Oh, yeah, she does too. Yeah, totally. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Marina. I'm a dick. Do you got a TV show?
I do. Want me to mention it now?
Sure.
Master of None.
Nice.
Aziz Ansari's show that played on Netflix.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love that show. Yeah. I can't wait for more.
Yeah, I was really pissed when that ended.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's got to be in one more episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole family dynamic and friend dynamic in that show.
Yeah.
It's like nothing you've seen before.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, multicultural.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really cool.
Without calling too much attention to it, it just is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And I got a favorite CD.
Okay.
A musical. Father John Misty, I Love You Honey Bear.
Okay.
I love that disc.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I listen to that daily.
Nice.
It's awesome. I saw him live in July. Was it July?
Yeah.
Adrian was sleeping or something and didn't show up.
Right.
He showed up like an hour later.
Yeah.
And he blew me away.
Right.
And I started listening to the disc, and it's so good. Great lyricist.
Right on.
He's cynical and funny, but sweet. The whole album's about his like courtship of his wife.
Oh, wow.
He's not afraid to call himself an asshole. It's beautiful.
Cool.
I love that disc. Do you have a favorite?
Off the top of my head, just go with...
There was that Pearl Jam Live CD that I listened to a couple weeks ago.
I'll just go with Mad Max Fury Road, original soundtrack.
Nice.
Driving around to that is badass.
With your window down, you're like spray paint on your lips.
That's right. Shouting and road rage.
Why do my lips hurt? This shit is toxic.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's it, man.
Right on.
That's the show, I think.
That's 2015 in a nutshell. Awesome.
Did y'all like my definitive list?
That's the thing. Every year, Bill's list is definitive.
Of course it is. Is there any doubt?
Yeah. And that's a cool thing is because I watch a lot of movies, but Bill watches freaking everything. So we've got it all covered here.
At the beginning of the show, I said I hadn't seen Chirac. That's literally the only film I haven't seen.
Yeah.
I've scoured trying to find stuff.
Yeah.
And I've seen it all, man.
Right on, dude.
Yeah. I go to hardcore film. December was super easy because I'd already seen everything.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I just had to go and watch the movies that opened every weekend.
That's right.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh my God, I got to see this. And I'm like, all right, seen that shit.
Yeah. Saw it in September, yo. October.
Pretty much.
Right on.
Still would have liked to go on to Fantastic Fest, so.
Yeah, man. Hopefully this year.
How's that lotto win coming?
Oh, man. Yeah, what's up with the Powerball?
Oh, dude. our dollar is only getting lower.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, hopefully the rest of the year is good and nice list.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up, where can people find you online?
I am at SoundJam69 on Twitter, and that is it.
Cool. And the show has a Twitter account. We're at @thegreen_screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. And you can find us on Facebook. Just run a search, The Green Screen of Death. You can also find us on other podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Throw us a thumbs up if you like us, thumbs down if you don't. And any comments you can throw our way will help us find a wider audience. We'd really appreciate that. So, yeah, that's 2015 in a nutshell. And we're looking forward to what 2016 has for us. So,
thank God for amazing January films.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, we'll try to keep it upbeat for the next show, but we can't promise
anything. This might be as happy as we sound in the next couple months.
3 months.
Yeah.
Oh, January, February movies. It's a terrible time in the movies, man.
All right, man.
Cool. Well, until next time, thanks for listening.
Peace.